This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We'll see if the Florida crowd is at all subdued as that series arrives. Not tonight. They played in Toronto last night. But
yeah, see, I think it's the only game tomorrow night.
Leafs up 2-0 on the Panthers. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, joined now on the Wester Hotline by ESPN's Greg Wyshynski. We've enjoyed Greg's visits many times over the years. Especially, I'm grateful when it's during the playoffs like this. ESPN has the doubleheader tonight. And Greg, let me say first, really, Bulldog should be the one to say it. He enjoyed your work on the broadcast last night.
on ESPN Bet Live, you mean?
No, on the intermission show.
With the parade.
Oh no, dude, that's my buddy Arda. We look the same. We both look.
Dude,
like
are you kidding me?
The incredible president. Yeah. No,
Oh my god.
You could always tell because he's the one putting over Toronto, and I could care less about Canada.
That's right.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like such a donkey now. I went to your Twitter feed and looked and saw the picture that you had posted. I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's you.
Do you guys think they'd let me within 20 feet of the adult table?
Well, that's why I was so impressed. I'm like, yes. Oh, we're talking to Greg. I was watching with my son. He thought it was you too. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Greg Wyshynski. We're talking to him tomorrow. Cool. Man, I feel like such a jerk. I'm sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Greg's nice talking
why
to you.
Why does Greg care if there's a parade in Toronto?
I know, right? I thought you were just trolling Canada, and I could get behind that.
It's a good bit.
Yeah.
It's a good bit. I mean, I've been doing the bit on social media myself, but actually, I don't think it's a bit. I mean, like, I seriously think we're in trouble here, folks, and there's a chance the Leafs could win the Cup this year. Like, it's not great for those of us who have enjoyed the schadenfreude of no Cup since 1967. I mean, like, they're talented. They've yet to have a moment in these playoffs where their psyche has been broken, which is usually when they're eliminated. And they might have the guy behind the bench in Craig Berube who's, you know, has some proof of concept vis-a-vis keeping his team focused and shutting out the outside noise with what he did in St. Louis. So I'm a little concerned. Like, if they can get past Florida, I think they beat whoever comes out of the Metro. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with the Western Conference with Dallas and Edmonton. But, like, It's a little disconcerting right now that this could be the Leafs' year.
Yeah, they have really changed. It's been a storyline if people have been following them. I'm sure some people in our audience have been all season long. Like style wise, like how they play. It even came up watching. I think the one of the games in the Ottawa series that Buchogras and Weeks were doing. John was saying like, yeah, there's just not a lot of offense from Toronto tonight. And I'm thinking to myself, this is how they've been mostly all year. Like they've got the star power. So you know they can still do it, like just on a dime, bang, just boat race you. But mostly they've been playing. I think they've been learning how to play all year, and now it's coming home to roost for them.
Yeah, they're fundamentally sound defensively. They've got good goaltending finally this year with Stolarz when he's healthy, and with Wall, who was pretty good last night, or as good as he needed to be. But you know, you also have some guys that, for all the criticism that the core four has gotten for not performing in the playoffs. I think Nylander's been insane. Maybe the second most valuable player in the playoffs behind Mikko Rantanen at this point. And Marner's gotten his points. Still waiting on Austin Matthews to announce his attendance in the proceedings, but that's fine. But they're good. And they're also tough. I mean, there's a certain toughness to this team to withstand what Ottawa was throwing at them, to withstand what Florida can throw at them. Obviously, Florida's already cost them their goaltender with what Sam Bennett did in game one. They're tough. They can push back, and also they're not dumb. They didn't do dumb things last night in trying to exact revenge for what the Panthers did in game one, which is usually what happens when you play the Panthers, but the Leafs didn't take the bait.
Yeah, very different. Yeah, Ekman Larson and McCabe on the back, and Tanev too. I was worried when they signed him that he would, you know, be on one leg by the time the playoffs got here, but they managed to get through that season, and he's still there. The guy that really, to me, is a piece that these Leafs have never had through this window is Nyes. To me, like, he is just such a different sort of player than any of the core group, and I feel like just adds an element there. Like, he's going to be a problem, I think, for years if you're interested in the Atlantic Division like we are in Buffalo,
for sure. And the other part about him too is he's young, so he doesn't carry the burden of a dozen seasons of playoff disappointments and get the blame for it and have the media on him all the time asking him why he can't win. I mean, he's also like new to the proceedings still in some ways. So they're quite good. I hesitate to put them over Florida because this Florida team could easily just put on the afterburners and take the series. But they've, in order to do that, you're going to have to plant the seed of doubt in the minds of the Maple Leafs that this isn't the year. And like I said, no one's been able to do that yet. Even in the slightest, even Ottawa couldn't do it despite pushing him to game six in the first round.
With Greg Wyshynski, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. So would, for you, or maybe even know a number, would the odds of a Canadian Cup be better than 50-50?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I had Dallas coming out of the West and winning the Cup, and as long as Mikko Rantanen is continuing to tally hat tricks every game, I feel pretty confident about that. But there's definitely, I mean, like, if I had to stake my life on it, right, I would say the Cup Finals, Edmonton and Toronto, in which case we don't have any escape. We're going to have the first Canadian Stanley Cup since 1993. But I mean, like, it kind of feels like it might be headed there, you know, and then you get Matthews versus McDavid. You get the Leafs versus the Oilers. You have the Oilers trying to win the Cup that they lost in Game 7 last year and trying to, and we'll probably have all of Canada outside of Ontario behind them in trying to prevent the Leafs from winning. Like, it's a really, really compelling final. And it kind of feels like it might be heading there. The Oilers are playing really well, too. Like, I was super impressed with them defensively the last few games. Their depth is good. I still really like Dallas, especially if they can get Heiskanen back at some point. But, I mean, it kind of, you know, you can just take a deep breath. Go outside, smell it in the air, boys. It's Toronto, Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, Heiskanen, what is... Do you have a guess there? I mean, it just feels like once he started taking morning skates, I thought, oh, it's got to be happening soon. And we got through the whole first round, and now we're a game into round two, and still no change. Is there any news on that front?
No, I mean, he's still working his way back. I mean, maybe with some of the, with the win in game one, they probably maybe can give him a little bit more time to work back. But I'm honestly shocked based on everything that we had heard and everything that they had been saying towards the end of the Colorado series that Robertson made it back before Heiskanen did. But, you know, listen, they they gutted out the Colorado series, which is extremely impressive when you consider what the Avalanche had on their roster and who was missing for Dallas. And then they go and do what they did in game one of the Winnipeg series. And so they can afford to be patient right now with their injured guys.
Checking the odds before, well, 2 days ago, I guess the second round had started, but barely. I saw Dallas as the favorite by a little bit over Carolina. And Washington was the longest shot on the board at plus 1,000 to win it. And I wasn't expecting that, Greg. I mean, I saw game one, and maybe that now I get it. But as someone who questioned Washington all year, like I was doing, they get the five-game win in the first round. I did not expect the betting markets to show that Washington was like the biggest long shot, not by a tremendous amount. Thoughts on that matchup?
Well, I'm in D.C. now, hence the sirens, and I'm going to the game tonight. And I'm really intrigued to see what their counterpunch is going to be because that game one loss was the kind of loss that happens and has you questioning whether you can win a series. Now, their coach actually had to come out and say today before the game, we believe we can win the series and play our best hockey against Carolina. The simple fact that it needs to be addressed mm-hmm. tells you what a humbling defeat it was in game one where the Caps couldn't get anything going. That being said, it's still the Hurricanes, which meant that it was a one-goal game in overtime. You know, even when they're that dominant, even when they're that good, this is a team that constantly plays to the margins in the postseason and is in constant dire straits because they're winning games by one goal and hoping that someone can find that goal. That's why they traded for Rantanen earlier this year. That's why they traded for Gensel last year. They're perpetually the team that has to hope somebody scores in a perfect situation to get them over the hump. So, again, it's not the most encouraging game one for Washington. The people that were heavy on Carolina are probably feeling pretty good about life right now. But at the end of the day, it was a one-bounce game.
Yep, right. Yeah, that is it. It would be fitting if Carolina were to go on some kind of a run here because this was the year I finally decided I'm done backing them in any way, shape, or form. Because it just every year, it's just like they look like one of the best teams in the league, and then it's like, I don't know, Boston has their number for some reason or whatever it is. They just can't seem to get there. Do you think there's any fatigue there with front office, coach, anything? Like if the wheels were to come off of this thing, I mean, I imagine if they win a second round series that everyone is safe, but it feels to me like they've been, this team for 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Tolsky is their new GM. He took over for Don Waddell, so there's a little bit of new blood there. I mean, he was the assistant to Waddell, who's now in Columbus. But I mean, he's going to be given some time to kind of put his stamp on the roster. They took a big swing with Rantanen, and the fact that he, didn't sign and they had to trade him again to Dallas, there might be some virtue in what they got back in Logan Stankoven, who's a good young player. Mm-hmm. But it still is kind of embarrassing to take that kind of swing and then not have the guy in the playoffs. And Brind'Amour, listen, he gets him to the playoffs every year. I don't think there's a lot of consternation about his role right now and his job right now. I think when he leaves, it'll be him deciding when to leave. But, maybe it's the new Pope that has me feeling a little bit religious today.
Let's go.
there are hockey gods. We know that. I mean, Buffalo fans know that more than anybody, that there's hockey gods. Yeah. And, maybe the hockey gods decree a Toronto-Edmonton final, or maybe they decree a Mikko Rantanen revenge tour of beating Colorado in the first round and then facing the Carolina Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, that could easily be what the hockey gods decree as well.
I only felt compelled to ask the question about Brind'Amour's future because the Sabres just hired Eric Staal as a special assistant to the GM. And, just when we get see how many 06 Hurricanes we can fit under one tent.
It's beautiful.
It's wild to me. Like, you guys are collecting them like Pokemon. Is Joe Corvo walking through that door anytime soon? Like, my God. But again, it's also like hockey nepotism, right? I mean, why is Eric Staal there? Eric Staal is there because he played with Kevin Adams. You guys mentioned it on the update. Why is Joel Quenneville in Anaheim? Because he was a teammate in Hartford in New Jersey with Pat Verbeek, their GM. It's always like this familial relationship, mm-hmm. incestuous thing in the NHL. So I'm not surprised that Kevin is surrounding himself with some former teammates up there.
Saying that, the Sabres in this interminable playoff drought have gone, if you will, outside the box not always in a good way, but, you know, first-time GMs and coaches, not first-time coaches in Kruger's case, but still a little bit of a different hire, and then Granato, too. What's left to say, Greg? I mean, 14 years, no one of these names that we see bounce around running franchises all the time, the guys, the Waddells that get the next job the day after just because, I don't know, there's some credibility there or something. The Sabres seem to just, they can't be bothered to make a move like that up top.
I mean, is Botterill's got to be one of the few guys. I mean, I guess Bylsma too. Like that got rehired after not working out in Buffalo. Like a lot of these guys haven't gotten another job.
And it took many years for both guys to get top jobs again.
It did. I don't know. I've in thinking about the Sabres, like I think it's pretty clear that they might be at the point where they need to start packaging some of these younger guys that they've been waiting on together to go and get guys that are maybe in their mid-20s. That are a little bit closer to their prime. I mean, you know, I know Elias Pettersson's name has come up a bunch with the
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
With the Canucks looking to maybe move him, but who knows? You'd be buying extremely low on him, and he's, you know, not the same player that he was a couple of years ago. But you know, that's one path that it could take, and then it ultimately comes down to whether or not you have the faith that their front office is the right one to make those kinds of moves. Because once you do start packaging young guys and sending young players out the door, as every Sabres fan knows, It could come back to haunt you in a pretty severe way. So that's the trick, and you know, they're in a pickle right now.
No kidding, it can come back to haunt us. I mean, it's not even believable the way we watched the Sabres trade players who went and won the Conn Smythe or won cups immediately just over and over. It's happened. Josh Norris is hopefully not the next example of a trade gone wrong, but he only played 2 games here. He was injured.
3 maybe, yeah.
Maybe 3.
Yeah.
Would Norris from Ottawa not have been available? Would he have been available if not for the injury history?
Potentially. I mean, you know, like Cousins is younger. I think he's got a bit of a different skill set. He's you know, controllable contract-wise too. So there were still, you know, reasons to make that deal outside of the frustration with him being unable to stay healthy. But I mean, obviously, like the fact that they're looking for a bit more stability and they're looking for a guy to stay in the lineup certainly factored into their decision. I like him as a player. I'm kind of bummed that he can't stay healthy, because I do think that he's actually a pretty solid offensive player and a good hand to have in the middle. But again, you know, the concern was health. And then he played, like you said, like what, 2 games. So I mean, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point.
Yeah, it sure is. So how about like the overall here, Greg? It's been a pretty incredible year for the league with the success of the Four Nations Face-Off. I feel like these playoffs with the Game 7s we just had over the weekend that were just, I mean, great theater. I feel like the league is maybe riding as high as it ever has been. I wonder how much they would be fearing an all-Canadian Stanley Cup final like you were talking about a few minutes ago.
So, I mean, there's good and bad, right? I mean, Four Nations was a massive success to the point where now they're rethinking their international calendar and what they're going to do with the All-Star game. And I think that's probably right, even though I do think that the conditions were very specific to this year, geopolitically, as to why that thing popped off the way it did. You know, they've got a collection of young stars. Scoring has been over 6 goals per game for the last few seasons. Power play has clicked in a way they hadn't clicked since the middle of the 1980s. There's a lot of things that are going right, and I think next year's Olympic tournament is going to be even, you know, a bigger boom, because mm-hmm. I think the Americans have a legit shot at winning gold. But, you know, the Canadian thing, the Canadian part of your question is an interesting one, because while those games will be awesome and the atmospheres will be awesome, and I do think a lot of American fans really enjoyed watching the atmosphere in Edmonton and really enjoy watching the atmosphere in Winnipeg, for example, and kind of get that almost like elite college football vibe from how much the community yes. cares about these things.
Yes.
It is tough for this league to really thrive without the Rangers, without the Bruins, without the Penguins, without the Flyers, without the Blackhawks, without the Red Wings, without all of the teams that kind of 2X the audience when they're contending. And so that's kind of the downside right now, is that we have a lot of really good teams and a lot of really good players and some amazing hockey, and they're not necessarily the franchises that the casual fan wants to watch.
Interesting. I mean, I'm very much with this group. I get bored by those other teams, you know, the New York, Philadelphia stuff. I'm glad to not have it. I'm a Hockey Night in Canada kid, though. I look forward to those ratings lists when they come out, the top 10 cities for viewership, because Buffalo's always on it, and so is so is Providence, and West Palm. There's one city in Florida that's always on the top 10.
It's West Palm. It's all the snowbirds and New Yorkers that migrated down there so they could buy McMansions. But yeah, I mean that's one of the real tragedies of the way that Sabres have gone for the last, you know, over a decade. Is when that team is competitive and when it pops, we know what the audience is going to be, not only locally, but all the same people that flood bars on Sundays to watch the Bills in cities across the country are all of a sudden going to be repping the Sabres if that team ever becomes relevant again. And it's something the league has certainly missed.
Well said. I like the college football comp too. That works. I'm thinking about those the people outside
the
Leafs arena and
right,
so on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned you're in Washington. Where can we find you on the streaming / or just like social media? Because I don't want to make any mistakes here.
I'll be sucking down Guinnesses at the Irish Channel after the game. Oh, you mean like online?
Yeah, like during the game. Sorry.
You can read my stuff at ESPN.com as per usual, and pithy comments at Wyshynski on Twitter. I should also mention my friend Jeff Merrick. And I are doing our podcast again every Tuesday on dailyfaceoff.com, the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast every Tuesday.
It's back.
It's on YouTube, so you can watch two subtly aging hockey pundits, one of whom combs his hair, me. The other one, I don't know what's going on, but we do our show every Tuesday now, and it's great.
What is the status of Mise en Pod?
Oh, my God, it's still thriving. Me and my wife, Ruby, do Mise en Pod. It's a food TV podcast. On the Puck Soup Patreon, if you're interested in food TV, or more specifically in Top Chef, because we do the podcast every week during Top Chef. We just did the top 5 and 5 worst Restaurant Wars pop-up names of all time, a bonus episode. Big fan of Kentucky's Third Coast. I mean, think about it. We've got two coasts. The Low Country, where you get crawdaddies, that's the Third Coast. So, yeah, that's the podcast I like to do the most, because it's just me and my wife sitting across the kitchen table having a beer talking about Top Chef.
I like it this year. Toronto, speaking of Toronto, it's the first time I think they ever went to a restaurant I've been to when they went to Ravine Vineyards, Niagara-on-the-Lake. It's like 15 minutes from home.
Yeah. Oh, and it was gorgeous there, too. What's really funny is they labeled the season Destination Canada, and they've yet to leave Toronto in about 8 episodes so far. So it's actually quite appropriate when you talk to people around Canada that get pissed off about how Toronto considers itself to be the center of the universe. The fact that Top Chef is doing Destination Canada but hasn't left a 3-block radius of Toronto, I think, is appropriate.
I would look forward to hearing you on one of these podcasts talk about your favorite or least favorite contestants. I've decided Kristen Kish, who is now the host of the show, is, I think, my favorite all-time contestant on the show, too. I don't think the show really misses Padma, although I thought she was great, but I love the current host.
She She was awesome. I'm a big fan of Buddha, who was on last season, because he was like a fan of the show that studied how to win, like, scientifically, and bought like 200 different molds for like making gelatin and stuff. And anyone who's a big fan of the show and also has broken the thing down into what Jeopardy contestants do to try to, like, you know, rig the board and everything. Like, to have that down on Top Chef is really impressive.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to. At some point, you get up this way. Maddie Matheson's place in Ridgeway, Ontario, which is just about a 20-minute jaunt over the Peace Bridge, Rizzo's House of Parm, has been getting a lot of love. And, you know, it's a tough table, but I think, we got to try to make something happen for you.
Oh, all right. Well, now you've got my attention. Anything, any favors to be called in by media moguls in the Buffalo area, I have to pay attention.
Let's please not start 9-14-1 next year, please.
Right. Do you have a reason to come here at some point?
Let's get it off the ground.
Right.
Greg, enjoy your night in Washington. Thanks as always.
Anytime. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski on the Wester Hotline. First game tonight is Carolina at Washington. All right. 803-0550 to join us. We did some Bill stuff with the schedule, took a call on Keon Coleman. We're post-draft here now. And
the schedule's next week. And I misidentified our guest on television last night.
Well, he was a great sport about it. He didn't seem to mind.
I'm tempted to retweet the picture that is on his Twitter feed to, like, put it to it. Like, do you think this is Greg Wyshynski? Because I feel like such a dolt.
You're thinking maybe it still was.
No, No, I definitely believe him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you should.
It really, at least he admitted that the guy does look similar enough to him.
Yeah. So. We'll be back after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.